Danny Mac mentioned, we're going to do the white stone ceremony. Now, this is kind of unusual. We're having rituals 2 weeks in a row, and we don't do rituals.
Yes, we do.
We have our own rituals. Last week, we did the burning bowl ceremony, and we released from our life in a big poof of fire everything that we wanted to release from previous experiences and from the previous year. And then we wrote our letter that we're going to get back at the end of the year. Charles said he came across his letter that he wrote last year, and he was thinking, what is this? Some blind man wrote me. So he read it, and it was inspiring, and it will be for us when we read it again at the end of this year. So today we're going to do something that has to do with choosing a new name for ourselves. Now, the Bible has a lot to say about names, about naming things. And so we're going to take a look at a little bit of the historical, biblical background about naming things. In the Bible, we know that names have metaphysical meanings. They have symbolic meanings. And so when someone had a significant experience, often their name was changed. Now, the Bible is a story about us. It's our story. It's not just about history. It's a story of us when we are first born into that human consciousness, the Adam consciousness, and all the changes that we go through, all of the stories in our lives. We are each of those characters as we move through the different evolutionary processes in our lives. And then the awakening of the spiritual nature of who we are is the awakening of the Christ consciousness, which is what we identify with our affirmation. That's also what we just celebrated at Christmas, was the birth of our awareness of that Christ consciousness that we are here to experience and express. And so every name in the Bible has a significance for us individually. So first of all, we are Abraham. We're in that Abraham consciousness, that Abraham symbology, when we leave behind what was familiar and when we step out in faith in what is the new. So that is the Abrahamic consciousness that we are all passing through at different times in our lives. Now, we also have the Job consciousness. Remember that one? Job was in his misery. He was miserable. He was blaming everything around him for that misery. So we are in the Job consciousness when we are experiencing poor health or downturns in circumstances or broken relationships, and we're blaming it all out there. That happened out there. It happened to me. So that's the Job consciousness. We're in the Judas consciousness when we betray what we know to be true. When we betray who we are and what we know to be true, and we choose the lower aspects of ourselves instead of the higher aspects, we've betrayed ourselves. So there's an interesting occurrence that happens several times in the Bible where a person has a change in consciousness and then they get a change in their name. Now, this happened in the Old Testament to Jacob. Some of you in your former lifetime, in your former churches, might have been very big on Bible study. So these stories may be very familiar to you. Or you may not have been raised in a fundamental traditional Baptist or some other church that focused on the Bible. So I'll tell you a little bit about each of these. Jacob wrestled with an angel. That was the story. He wrestled all night with an angel. Now, the angel wrestling represents when we're struggling. You have that struggle within you? I know you have. Don't look at me like that. That struggle within you where you're wrestling with something. Your higher self and your lower self are at odds, and you're struggling with something. Sometimes you might do an all-nighter. You might stay up all night worrying about or struggling with something. We've all had those human experiences. This happened to Jacob. He wrestled with the angel. Now, right at daybreak, daybreak symbolizing the enlightenment, the aha, the big, oh, I get it now. Right at daybreak, he won. He was victorious. He won the struggle. And at that point, he got a new name. Jacob's name was changed to Israel. Israel, after that struggle, after that enlightenment. Abraham started out his life as Abram. And when he let go of what was before and found the willingness to follow in faith the light of God, his name was changed to Abraham, and his wife Sarai, her name was changed to Sarah. So there was a consciousness change that reflected in a name change for them. You may remember Peter's name change. Peter was one of the disciples, and he was called Simon at first, Simon Peter. And so at one point Jesus said, "Who do people say that I am?" And then he kept on and he said, "No, who do you say that I am?" And Simon at that time said, "You are Christ, the Son of the living God." So Simon got it. He got it that Jesus was more than just a human, just as we are more than just humans. When we get it, when we get that moment of, aha, I'm more than just my foibles and my humanness, I have a spiritual potential, spiritual possibility that I can live into. When we get that name change consciousness. And Jesus said, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven." In other words, the higher consciousness has revealed this to you. And I tell you, your name is now Peter. And on this rock I will build my church. So that's what happened to Simon Peter. He came into a new consciousness, a new understanding of this living presence that dwells within each of us, and he saw it and recognized it and identified it in Jesus, his teacher. So the next one that you're probably the most familiar with is the name change that Paul experienced. You know, he was named Saul. That was his name, and he was a big persecutor of Christians. He hated Christians. He wanted them all wiped out. So he was making a journey to Damascus. On the road to Damascus, he had this experience of enlightenment. This light hit him, and it was so bright, the awareness, the enlightenment, the understanding was so bright that it blinded him. He did recover his sight, but he was blinded for a period of time. And then when he came into this new consciousness, he wanted to know all about this person called Jesus. Now, you may not know this, but he never met Jesus. Did you know that?
Yeah.
He never met Jesus. And so he studied him, and he talked to a lot of people, but he wasn't a disciple. But he is the one who formed Christianity. It wasn't Jesus. It was Paul. So we have Paul to thank for the religious structure of Christianity. And so whenever we get a new understanding, a new enlightenment, we get a new metaphysical name. Now, up until the time of Moses, people didn't know what to call God. They didn't have a name for that. It was so mysterious, so mystical, that they wouldn't even try to call it anything. And if you have been Jewish, or if you know Jewish people, you may notice that they don't write out the word God. They'll put G, asterisk D, or something, or blank, 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 because this is still part of that teaching, that if the name is too mystical to say, too mystical to mention. Now, when Moses was having his little meeting with God, he said to God, "Well, if I come to the Israelites and I tell them that the God of your ancestors has sent me, who do I tell them you are? What do I say your name is?" And God said to Moses, "Tell them, I am that I am. I am that I am." Now, that phrase has caused a lot of confusion, a lot of misunderstanding. So there are many different ways that people have looked at that. Neil Donald Walsh says that it was missing a comma, that it should have said, "I am that, I am. I am that, I am." So that's an interesting way to think about that, that the name of God is what we are. So in other words, it's another way of saying we're made in the image and likeness of the divine. So all that God, the great divine power of the universe is, we are. I am that, I am. I am that, I am. So God being all-encompassing, all-powerful, no beginning, no end, everywhere present, I am is the complete name of God, the complete name of God, and any other statement would limit God in some way. So as children of God, as expressions, as manifestations of God, the more we understand the nature of God, the more we understand our nature, who we are. So it's important for us to recognize the allness, the omnipotence, the omniscience, the omnipresence of the divine, so we know that we are also able to bring that awareness and experience into our lives. So there's great power in a name. There's great power in a name. God expresses through each one of us and as his manifestations or children. Some people don't like that because it's like we're not children. You know, we're adults. Well, as offspring, maybe that's the better word I should use, as offsprings of the divine, we share that power. We are one with that power. But here's the clinker. We have to know it. If you don't know it, it doesn't work in your life experience. You could have a huge bank account someplace, but if you didn't know it, would it do you any good? You couldn't access those funds. So you have to know that you are one with this power in order to be able to tap into it, in order to be able to use that power greater than we are at the human level. So the lost name of God is I Am, and that's the secret behind all religions and all philosophies. Now, I Am is your true identity. It was Jesus' true identity. It's everyone's true identity. But when we wake up to that and claim that, then we experience it in our lives. So it was never born. It will never die. It's never sad. It's never sick. It never grows old. It never worries, and it's never afraid. So that is our potential, to live in that consciousness of divine power. However, here's the thing. It's filtered through our own individual consciousness. And our consciousness grows, just like the Adam to Christ story of the Bible, our consciousness grows and develops as we move along through our spiritual journey. So we have to realize that although it's true for us and all people everywhere, we may not be expressing at the level of the Christ yet. But that doesn't mean the potential's not there. Other people that we see, we may think, why did they say that? Why did they do that? Why are they acting like that? Well, perhaps their consciousness is filtering through at the level of their own development. And as that consciousness expands and develops, they'll have those aha moments, those enlightened moments, just like we all do as our consciousness expands and stretches and sees more and includes more. When we're at the very basic primal level of consciousness, it's all about me, me, me. You know, I talked about Ken Wilber's work in transpersonal psychology. He, an integral cycle of psychology and spirituality, he talks about the first stage is me, me, me. It's all about me. The next stage, as we develop a little bit more, you include your family. It's me and these people right here. And or it's me and all the people that look like me. If you look like me, if you act like me, if you think like me, then you're in good with me. You know. And then as we go along, as we develop, we include more and more and more until pretty soon we realize we're all part of the family of God. It doesn't include anybody. But that takes an expanded consciousness to be able to see that. So everything that we do is about breaking down walls, breaking down barriers, seeing more the oneness with all people so that we recognize that and include all in our consciousness, in our lives. So when we say I am, the natural question is, well, I am what? I am what? Well, this is where we get to use our spiritual power. We get to choose whom we will serve. So we can use this power for good or for ill. Just like electricity. Electricity is a fabulous power. But if you stick your finger in a 220 volt, you're not going to think it's so powerful. I mean, you're not going to think it's so wonderful at that moment because you have used it incorrectly. Now, it's the same thing with this power. If we go around saying, oh, I'm tired, I'm sick, I'm so poor, nobody likes me, I'm just out of luck. You know, if you go around saying that, you're not going to think this power is so great because you're going to start experiencing what you're speaking your word for. But you can change that. You can change that at any moment. You can decide to claim your good. You can choose to claim from the truth of who you are. You can say things like, I am life, I am love, I am wholeness, I am joy. Jesus understood this. You think back to what he said. He said, I am the good shepherd. I am the door. I am the bread of life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the light of the world. He got it. He knew who he was. He used his power affirmatively, and we can do the same thing. So if you don't like the name that you've been calling yourself, if you've been telling yourself you're weak, you're tired, you're old, you're sick, whatever it is, I'm poor, I'm out of luck, if you've been calling yourself those names, stop it. Stop it. Just that Bob Newhart in psychology. Just stop it. Just stop doing that. Because it's not getting you what you want. You're not using the power in a way that uplifts you, that affirms you. So we all are part of the family of God. Our family name is the same. Our family name is I Am. But our given name is whatever we choose to say it is. So we can choose to, maybe this year your name would, you'd like for your name to be Joy. Or maybe you'd like it to be Abundance or Health or Peace or Tranquility. I don't know what it is that you might want to experience more. And you don't have to just have one name, but for today's ceremony, I don't know how many names are going to fit on these little tiles, but you can choose the name that's right for you. In just a minute, we're going to do that. So whatever name you choose, I have several affirmations that I like to use, and I'll share them with you. One I like is, I'm alive, alert, awake, aware, enthusiastic. That one just kind of rolls off my tongue. I'm alive, alert, awake, aware, enthusiastic. So that's one that I often use, especially if I'm not feeling that way. If I realize I've taken in some thoughts that are not in alignment with that, I'll say that one to get myself back on the track that I want to be expressing on. I also like to say, I am youth, health, and beauty. That's what I say too. Especially if I look in the mirror and I'm not feeling that way, I want to see myself differently. So you say what it is you want to experience. That's what you claim for yourself. So a few years ago, I found myself in a kind of a down place in my life and my consciousness. I had been taking care of my parents for about 5 years as they were going through end-of-life issues. And then they passed away a few weeks apart. So I had this period in my life where I felt like the bottom had fallen out. All the things that I had been doing, I was no longer needed for. And so I found myself feeling depressed. I was grief-stricken. I was sad. And, you know, those are normal human emotions and experiences. We don't want to deny those. Being authentic is knowing that we have human emotions, but we don't have to stay in those emotions. We don't have to keep ruminating and going over and over and over and over them. We can feel them. Let them move through us and out from us. We can release them. We can release them and let them go. So when it was time, I knew for me to move on, I had to find a way to do that. Now, what I found was gratitude is the most perfect way to move those emotions through us. Just be in gratitude. So I began to think how grateful I was for all of the blessings that my parents had been in my life and all the blessings that they gave me that stayed with me. And I even blessed the times when I needed to forgive them. Because, you know, every relationship isn't perfect. I mean, maybe none of them are, as far as I know. But I had to forgive some things that weren't the way I wished that they had been. So gratitude just kind of lifted me up out of that in an authentic way. It didn't deny that I had experienced loss and grief. But it allowed me to choose again what I wanted to continue to experience after that. So today we're going to go through a little ritual, a little ceremony of changing our consciousness so that we can change our name of what we present to the world. Now, changing the name is the easy part. You can just choose a name. Oh, yeah, I'll write this name now. But here's the thing that's not so easy. When you choose a new name for yourself, when you choose a new way to experience, you're going to have a change in consciousness. Now, it may just cause a little ripple. You may just find yourself, oh, well, I don't think I'll do that habit that I used to do anymore because that won't lead me to a life-affirming experience. It may just be a little ripple like that. It can turn your life totally upside down. When I first started in this teaching and took some Science of Mind classes, I would I would treat for a new experience, and everything would turn upside down, and I'd have to sift through it and get the new experience. So anytime we get a change in consciousness, there are changes in our lives that are going to accompany that. So we have to be willing to, if you're treating for health, if you're saying, I am health, if that's what you want to experience, you may have to give up some old unhealthy words or habits or things that you're doing that are not contributing to your health. If you say, I am joy, then you may have to give up wallowing in depression. You may have to say to yourself, that has served itself. I recognize that I have had pain, but I'm not choosing to stay there. So you may have some changes that you have to make. If you're unhappy in your career and you want a joyful work experience, you may have to quit your job. You may have to, or you may have to make a change within you at your job that will make it a different experience. It will happen. You will have a change. So change is not something to be feared. It's part of our teaching. You know, we say change your thinking, change your life. So we can't stay the same and not change and have a better experience. So change is good. If we look forward to the good that comes from the change, we'll find it, we'll see it. We'll be so grateful that we were willing to let go of the old and move forward. So in a minute, we're going to pass around these silver plates that have these little white stones in them. Now the stones this year are blank. There's no name on them. But behind you, or in front of you in the chairs, are some black Sharpie markers. They look like this, and there should be enough for everybody to have one or to share with somebody else if you don't have one. If you're on the front row, you might have to get one from another place. But anyway, we're going to do that. Now, when you get your stone, don't light on it right away. We're going to do a little meditative process so you can really get what word comes up for you, what words you would really like to claim as your own this year. So just hold it and until you receive your word. So I'm going to ask Stephen and Mac if they will come up and pass these stones around. I don't need to write yet. In your bulletin, there's a little card that explains to you what this is about. So if you look in your bulletin, you will find this little card. These are little stones from Jerusalem. They have some significance, some spiritual significance, and this card will tell you about that. It says, let anyone who has an ear listen to what Spirit is saying to the churches. To everyone who conquers, I will give some of the hidden manna. I will give a white stone. And on the white stone is written a new name that no one knows except the one who receives it. So you don't have to share your name with anyone. You can write your name and you can put your stone someplace and it's yours alone. Or you can share whatever you want to do, whatever feels right. So when we overcome something, we move forward in faith, a new name is given. So today we're going to meditate on and think about what that new name should be. So I'm going to ask you right now to just go into that quiet space within you. Vicki, would you mind turning off the lights for just a minute? And then we'll turn back on at the end before you write. So just go within and ask Spirit to reveal to you your new spiritual given name, remembering that your spiritual family name is I Am. I am joy, health, poise, confidence, faith, prosperity, peace, clarity. So just spend a few minutes meditating on what your new spiritual given name is. When you're ready, I'm going to ask Vicki to turn the lights back on and take your Sharpie. for bondage, a white stone was given to them. A white stone was given to them as a symbol. This showed that they were free. So if somebody along the road stopped them, they would show their white stone as a symbol of their freedom. So only people who were free had a white stone with them. So symbolically, the stone that you now hold in your hand represents your freedom in spirit. This is your symbol of freedom in spirit. So feel that stone and know that it represents releasing old ways of thinking and moving forward with faith into a new way of seeing and perceiving yourself. It is releasing a limited way of expressing your creative life and embracing a new way of expressing and experiencing that. So as our closing prayer, I'm going to ask you just to hold your stone. And when I say these words, I want you to say them to yourself as if you were saying these words to you. I am free.
I am free.
Just say it. You can just say it quietly inside your own mind. I am free. I have a clean slate. I choose this moment to begin again. This is a new beginning, a new day, a new opportunity. I release old thoughts about myself. I release any limitations. Through the illumination of spirit now, I know that I am God's offspring, heir to all good. Nothing, no thing is impossible to me. Blessed Spirit, I'm grateful for my new name. I am ready to be changed. I seek to grow in spiritual consciousness. I am open and receptive. I am now ready to be my new name. I accept my new name and the consciousness that it requires. Thank you, God. And so it is. Amen. Okay, it's done. You're sealed. Got that in now. Okay, so here's our affirmation. I place before me the goodness of God, and I know that it must become my experience. I therefore live my life in accordance to the values of God and refuse to compromise the principle of good. Let's read it together.
I place before me the goodness of life and know that it must become my experience. I therefore live my life in accordance to the values of God and refuse to compromise the principle of good.
And so it is.
And so it is.
Thank you.